Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. On Tuesday, City of Tulsa voters will go to the polls to pick Tulsa's next mayor in one of the longest-running mayoral campaigns in city history. But an equally important vote will be on the ballot as well, the city capital improvement package known as Improve Our Tulsa. Two ballot initiatives, which are Propositions 2 and 3 on the ballot, provide for $918 million in city street improvements and infrastructure needs, which will be financed by a continuation of the 1.1 cent sales tax, commonly known as the third penny tax, and through a general obligation bond. 71% of the $918 million will go for streets and transportation, 19% for public facilities and capital equipment, 6% for parks and recreation, and 4% for planning and economic development. Joining us today to discuss the package are two of the co-chairs of the Citizen Steering Committee for Improve Our Tulsa, Sharon King Davis and Rose Washington. They join us today on Studio Tulsa. Sharon and Rose, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
We're pleased to be here.
Yes.
Now, as co-chairs of the Citizen Steering Committee, give us a sense of the overall package of Improve Our Tulsa. What stands out to each of you? I'll start with you, Rose.
Well, for me, it just means that we're investing in our community. And as citizens, these are community assets. It's our responsibility to maintain them and to enhance them. And so it just means that we care enough about Tulsa to invest in Tulsa.
And for you,
and
sure.
This package especially I love because there were over 50 neighborhood community public meetings for citizen input into this. And this has been going on since last December. So this is not something that was just thought up at the last minute and put on a ballot. This has been a steady, thought-out process that has been run through the community. Again, a lot of people that were participating in this. And it's actually called a capital improvement project, CIP. But I like to call it a community investment project, because it is the community that helped build this. The council led this. They've just done a great job of this and put together something that I feel, of course, nothing's ever perfect, but I feel is a very good continuation of the Fix Our Streets that we voted on in 2008.
Now, you mentioned the fact that this has had a lot of public input and it's come about in a much longer timeline than the last capital improvement project, which seemed to come together right at the last minute. Do you think that's going to have any impact on the way people are liable to vote? Or will voters be able to say, okay, let's look at this on its merits?
I do think it makes a difference. A, Tulsans have been a part of this planning. And B, it is very well thought out. It does pick up where the street package will end. And we knew in 2008 that this wasn't the complete package, that we would have to come back. And we're doing that. But what it also does is have $355 million in it that is for improvements in Tulsa at the zoo, in our neighborhood parks, in the swimming pools, in the library. All of this is part of the package. It's not just streets, which is 70% of the vote.
Yeah, almost, it looks like a well over $500 million, maybe close to $600 million. Is pavement conditioning, street widening, bridges, and traffic engineering. So it's still mostly a street project. And certainly we know that they look at pavement index for determining
Correct.
Which streets get improvements. But is it evenly divided between the whole city? So, I mean, let's say District 1 and District 3 in the northwest and north part of the city are going to get as much attention as, say, District 8 and 9.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, if you look at Districts 1 and 3, about 19% of the total package will be invested in those areas. And so definitely the decisions were based on need, but also based on some of the desires of community.
Let's talk about some of the non-street portions, because that's probably what most interests taxpayers as far as what capital improvements are going to be funded. And one of the first things I've been looking at is transit. And, of course, as you both know, the city is looking seriously at rapid bus transit as the next step in our transit. And this will actually fund the Peoria corridor for rapid bus transit. And for those who are not familiar with this, this means a bus that'll be coming in 10 to 15 minutes with stops, actually like stations in a way. It's not necessarily like a subway station or a train station, but it's more like that. and it's increasing in frequency. It's possible down the road, if this actually works out, there might be specialized lanes or probably traffic requirements that allow those buses to move right along. So it is actually quite rapid. This is a great first step, but I know that in the planning stages, there was an idea of increasing the overall efficiency of the transit system, which I think that's also needed too. And unfortunately, that didn't make the case. Talk a little bit about the transit part of the package.
This Peoria Rapid Transit, and I did attend a citizen meeting recently to talk about this, and it doesn't mean that the buses are going to go fast, because somebody was going, we don't want buses running very fast up and down these streets. No, it means that they are running efficiently, that they are running frequently. And it will start from about 56th Street North and go to 65th, I believe, south on Peoria. So it is the complete Peoria corridor, and it is one of the highest ridden routes in the city. NCOG has really studied this in depth and put together this proposal for Peoria, seeing that it is the first needed. And as you say, as we get success from this, as I believe that we will, there will be other routes that can also be planned in that can then serve as the main routes to spring off from that.
A viable alternative to
there
the car.
Go. There
you
go.
I think that's what we're going to have to be looking at in this next century, you know. But nonetheless, that's part of it. Also, there will be replacing some buses as well.
Correct.
Yeah.
And a little bit smaller buses. We've seen that those, you know, the great big long ones and all, and they're more fuel deficient. So all of this will be great for this first step into the Peoria Rapid Transit.
Give us a sense from both of you, something that people probably don't know that's in this package that you're kind of interested in. Is there something?
Honestly, I'm excited about the entire package. When you, again, look at the numbers, 90% is for streets and transportation and then really police and fire equipment. So there's very little left for other things, but there's the parks and recreation, et cetera. So what people need to realize is that this is, in essence, a need. It's not a list of wants. It's primarily a list of needs. And so our community needs these improvements, and everyone needs to go out and vote yes.
Well, the police and fire safety equipment is essential. And that is a part of this package. The breathing apparatuses that the firefighters use when they go into a fire are about at the end of their life on the equipment. So this will purchase new, better equipment for the firefighters. One of the things in learning more and more about this and studying that I really like is our animal shelter, the pound, as it's known.
Yeah.
The dog pound, which really has, you know, cats, dogs, birds, and rabbits. You know, there's
right.
all kinds of things. And it was built within the last 20 years, but still needing help. I mean, you can't just build a house and never do any.
Well, of course, it's been in the news in the last few years, but just because of the sheer numbers of animals that they
absolutely.
Just weren't.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what they are doing there under the director is phenomenal. But this will build an adoption center so that when you go in now, there's a very small lobby, and you're in there if you're interested in adopting an animal. Then you've got to go back into the cages and do that. Or if you've seen one online, they might bring that out to you. But this will be a complete separate area where there will be kind of areas that they can bring an animal to you. And in a kind of quieter environment, you can learn about that animal, et cetera. Unfortunately, if drug dens or whatever are raided and there are animals in that, they take the animals to the shelter. So you can have some kind of, not often, but you can have some kind of a very anxious person that's in there demanding their animals back. And you don't necessarily want to be standing there with your children, you know, that you're looking for a nice puppy to take home and,
right.
and have to experience all of that. So there will be improvements at the shelter, which are good for us all.
Well, you know, it sort of marks the animal shelter as being a pound, as you earlier referred to it.
Yeah, the old
term. And a place to hold animals and then eventually dispose of them.
Correct.
To a place that really encourages adoption so that you can sort of reduce the number of animals
you're destroying. Gene Ledger has done an incredible job of also assessing other states that are in need of animals to adopt. And believe it or not, once a month, there is a volunteer that drives some of our animals to other states because they're adopted immediately.
Wow, that's great.
Yes.
That is great.
Absolutely.
Well, that is a small thing that people probably don't realize is in there, which will make a big difference to the quality of life.
The other that I appreciate is the library. And this is a public-private kind of arrangement. The library is already on a capital campaign to completely renovate it. You know, it was built in the early 60s, state-of-the-art for the 60s, but it's 50 years later, almost 50 years.
We didn't have an internet back then.
That's correct. So they're about at the end of the use of a lot of the systems within the library. And Tolson spoke earlier and said, no, we don't want to build a new one. So what's the answer? We're going to have to renovate the one that we have. So there is $10 million that's in this package to help renovate, and then private money is being given towards that, and it is going to be stellar
when it is finished. That's a supplement to the private money that's already being raised.
Yes, yeah. It is. Yes, just a portion of it.
And, of course, it is a beautiful 1960s building. I have to say it's a beautiful 1960s building.
It is.
So it's good that we're reusing that building. And then I assume it'll be technologically up to date, and it'll probably be updated quite a bit.
Absolutely, and actually the exterior has a beautiful look to it. It will look like our building, but there are lights that are being added up, those columns that right now you don't even really see. I mean, they're there, but they're just, you know, part of the building. But there will also be a wonderful outdoor garden and also a new parking garage that will be built with that. So it's going to be much more user-friendly for all of Tulsa. And, you know, the outlying areas, because we have a lot of people that come into the library.
So since Sharon has really shared some of her, I'll say, pet projects, I'll tell you that as a mom of a 10-year-old, we're really excited about the improvements to River Parks. I've become a novice runner and just enjoying the facilities there, and running up and down the river has been wonderful. And my son is excited about changes that are going to occur. And then also the zoo. There are some improvements to some exhibits at the zoo, the tiger and snow leopard exhibit.
Now, I was a little bit confused. Is this actually going to build those shelters, or is it a part? Is it the planning process? Are they doing the planning process? Can you answer that?
I believe it is also part of the construction, yes.
Yeah. So it'd be construction of a new carnivores exhibit, as well as the tiger and snow leopard exhibit. So that's about $11 million, almost $12 million.
Almost 12, yes. Yeah. And actually, if you look now when you go to the zoo, they have those old-time
1950s grottos.
Moats, grottos, yeah. That's it. Grottos that separate you from the animals. And these new ones are beautifully done, and then there are glass around so that you literally can stand there at the glass and there can be a snow leopard or a tiger. They're right there nose to nose with you, which is so exciting for children and adults to experience. But I'm glad you brought that up, Rose, about parks, because there are over 40 parks, neighborhood parks, in the city of Tulsa that will benefit from this package also. There will be all new playground equipment that is much safer. Some of these parks, again, going back to 50s, 60s, has the original equipment, and these will all be replaced.
Let's talk a little bit about the parks, because it looks like it's a long list. And, of course, the city has been updating parks over the last couple of, well, about the last decade, really. I guess it will basically, the parks they haven't hit, this will be a chance to hit many of them. And it's mainly what? Playground and safety surfaces. I'm looking at
some splash pads in some of them.
A few pools will be reconstructed as well.
Absolutely.
There'll also be some, like, covered areas for picnics and things like that that'll be reconstructed.
And shade. So
and shade.
In the middle of the summer, and you can actually get into some shade.
Yeah. Well, Rose, you were talking earlier about improvements associated with the gathering place, and this is a big part of the project, and a lot of that happens under the streets part, because there will have to be a slight rerouting of Riverside Drive. But the park itself, we know, is a private project. The Kaiser Foundation, the Williams, and a whole bunch of other groups are coming in to raise that private part of the money to construct this new area at 28th and Riverside. But what is the city contributions through this package?
As you mentioned, there is the rerouting of Riverside. Right now, when you're at about 29th or 30th, and you go under the overpass.
The Midland Railroad.
Yes.
Which is now a pedestrian bridge.
I was going to say, only some of us would remember that's the Midland Valley Railroad. But good work. Rich, the planning and the pre-work and some of the routing and the work on the streets is what is included on the city side. Mm-hmm. But the gathering place itself, like you said, is is private and an incredible gift to this city.
Yeah. One of the neat things about the Gathering Place is the fact you're using both sides of Riverside Drive, but you're really taking people out of the roadway by having these berms. Now, does the package include any of that berming, or is that all private money?
That I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I would assume, now this is just me speaking, citizen co-chair, not for the city, I would assume that that planning and how that is done would have to have the city in that.
Uh-huh.
Now, whether we're actually constructing those, I'm not really sure.
Okay.
Based on my understanding, some of the refurbishments are to the parking lot, of course, which we own mm-hmm. as citizens, curbing the restrooms there. And then there will be a double-decker bridge, a second level added to the pedestrian bridge that's there.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is to reduce congestion and improve
So it sounds like really what the city will do, their existing properties, they'll sort of enhance those to go along with all the enhancements on the private land that is being developed for the
park.
And
making sure that it meets all the requirements of codes and regulations, et cetera.
My guests today are Sharon King Davis and Rosa Washington. They are two of the co-chairs of the Citizens Steering Committee for Improve Our Tulsa. Tulsa voters will be going to the polls on Tuesday, or they could vote today,
That's right.
You were alluding to that earlier, to vote on the $918 million capital improvement projects, which will utilize bonds, as well as the, I think it's the existing already, third penny sales tax.
Yes, 1.1. The city sales tax.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what is interesting, because I have had people say, well, you know, every time I buy something, I have to pay 8.517. Now, what are you people doing with that? And I'm going, whoa, I'm not, you know, I'm the citizen. I agree with you. But it's when you really understand that 8.517, 4.5 cents of that automatically goes to Oklahoma City, and we never see it again. The city itself, and has been for all 40-something years, is run on two pennies. And the third penny is something that Senator Inhofe, then Mayor Inhofe, instituted in the 70s as he saw the need to have something to help fund capital projects and infrastructure. And it is the only tax that we have that we vote on every 5 years. And so far, Tulsans has stepped up every 5 years and approved that third penny sales tax. You know, it's interesting. That happened in the 80s with that 4.5 cents going to Oklahoma City. But in the late 60s and 70s, Broken Arrow, Owosso, some of our surrounding communities saw that they were going to grow, and they were looking way down the road, and they began annexing land. And Tulsa went, whoa, if we let them annex up, we have no room to expand. So Tulsa, very vision-wise, reached out and annexed a lot of land into the city. But at the time, we didn't have a plan on how we were going to build the roads, build the streets, and still maintain
water
what we
and
have.
Sewer, yeah.
And water and sewer. Yeah. And exactly what happened, there were huge subdivisions that went in. Developers would put in a beautiful subdivision, and you'd say, I can't get there from here. It's crazy. And unfortunately, today, this is still part of that cleanup, using this third penny to widen streets and do the improvements that are needed from that big push, which was very visionary and appropriate in the 60s.
I want to ask you both about the steering committee. Now, is this only geared up through the election, or will you actually serve as oversight once the bonds and sales tax are collected and spent?
Well, I'm not sure if we will serve on the sales tax oversight committee.
But there is a separate.
There is a committee that meets, I think, monthly, and members
correct.
Are appointed by city councilors, and I'm sure the mayor has some appointments. But their work is ongoing. So they're looking at all tax expenditures that the city is incurring.
This citizen steering committee will probably disband. And again, as Rose says, if you know, we're asked to serve on that, that's something, you know, we will individually look at. But I want to bring up something. The Fix Our Streets in 2008, right now, is on time and a little under budget. It will be completed in the spring of 2014. So what we're voting on today and Tuesday is the continuation of that will go into effect in July of 2014. The Fix Our Streets, you still today can get on the internet and check out that pothole, whether it was fixed and when it was, etc., because it has been such an extremely open process. And this will have that same openness. It will be available to all, and it will be overseen by whoever is serving on that sales tax committee.
My guests today are Sharon King Davis and Rose Washington. They are two of the co-chairs of the Citizen Steering Committee for Improve Our Tulsa. Improve Our Tulsa is also on the ballot November 12th, along with the longest running mayor's race in history.
Yes.
$918 million of capital improvement projects, which will utilize bonds and the 1.1 third penny sales tax, as it's commonly known, an extension of that. I guess when you do vote, because it has been split into bonds and sales tax,
correct,
there are two separate questions.
Yes, by law you have to vote separately on that.
And one's on the back of the ballot, which
exactly.
is which
yes.
is means you got to make sure and turn over the ballot and make sure.
Yes,
it's
please.
So, yeah, there you go. So our little mantra is vote yes on Proposition 2, flip the ballot over and vote yes on Proposition 3. So those two will be on the ballot, and again, Proposition 3 is on the back. And the one that's Proposition 3 is the one that has the improvements to police, to fire, the safety equipment, these issues that are places that we've been speaking of. And I also want to mention, too, that Gilcrease and the PAC and some others are a part of that package and improvements into those buildings.
I wanted to ask about two little small expenditures, which I'm just interested to know what it is. It's the one will be a Route 66 village. It's only about $500,000, but what exactly is that?
It will be a stop along the Route 66 where people can pull over. You know, we have an incredible amount of visitors that come through Tulsa as they're on the Route 66. A lot of people do that.
You know, I have to drive right at the end of Riverside at Southwest Boulevard.
Isn't where
the Cyrus Avery statues are and the flag, little plaza. But there's really nothing there other than that. And I'm really so surprised to see people pulling over, stopping, and looking at this because it's a wonderful statue, but that's all there is. It's not like it's a real attraction, yet there are people who you can see out of state license plates who are stopping and looking at this.
Absolutely, they do.
Have you seen the train engine that's over there?
On Southwest Boulevard?
Yes. Yeah. And so the parking lot, I think, will be enhanced, too.
And that's where this is the site, is in the Southwest sort of Crystal City area or
yes.
somewhere around there?
Yes.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yes. It's very nice. It's beautiful. In fact, I was on my way to Crystal City, and there were bikers, about 20 of them, just pedaling along and stopping and taking pictures, and they were all from out of state.
And, you know, that was part of Route 66 appeal years ago, was having all these strange things to stop and look at, and that's what people still want to see. And Tulsa is putting that together, and I love it. There's also something that may be coming up that came out of the Vision 2025 that will actually be a Route 66 experience that will be across the street from the East Meets West Plaza.
Yeah.
So that's coming.
Yeah.
But it's not a part of this.
Right. Also, there's some money for the Eugene Field redevelopment. Explain what that is, because this is actually a bit of money. This is almost $11 million. What is the Eugene Field redevelopment?
The Eugene Field is an elementary school that is on West 21st Street, and the whole area is being updated and developed. Proper equipment for the children and all will be put on playgrounds, and so that's part of that.
A lot of it is infrastructure, though.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily redevelopment of the neighborhood, construction of a stormwater interceptor. I guess there are flooding problems in the area, and street improvements, curb and gutter, water lines, sanitary sewer, and storm sewer. So it is truly infrastructure.
Well, that is kind of a low area, and you also have the railroad tracks and the levee. What used to be the levee in that area is higher along the river, so I could see where water would collect in that
And there
area.
Is actually some funds in here for the levee. Mm-hmm. It's more along what used to be called Charles Page Boulevard, mm-hmm. West 3rd Street. But there is money for the levee there that needs to be repaired.
All right. I want to ask both of you, since it sounds like as a part of being on the steering committee, basically folks in the city have been sort of educating you on what's actually a part of the project. What's been the most interesting thing you've learned as serving as citizen chairs?
Let me go first, because Sharon probably hasn't learned much. She's just an expert at this.
Yes, I am.
For me, I've been in Tulsa 12 years, and this was really my first time paying attention to the process. And I was so impressed with the fact that there was total transparency, that this created an opportunity for every citizen to participate in improving our Tulsa, and that anyone who wanted to present a proposal could do so. Voices were clearly heard, and were, as evidenced through this package, were put on the ballot. So I just think seeing a public process work the way it's designed to was eye-opening for me. And even though I'm a finance person, I just never really paid attention to municipal finance. So I learned quite a bit about that aspect of money management as well.
All right. And Sharon?
Perfectly said, because that's what I was going to say. Literally, the citizen, this is a citizen package.
Well, okay, we have just a moment left. Why should folks vote for both Proposition 2 and 3 on November 12th?
This really does improve all of our Tulsa. And it is, as Rose has just said, come from the people, from the public, as well as the city. The perfect public-private partnership is to bring this to the city and vote yes on Proposition 2 and 3, which is on the back of the ballot.
No. Yes. Remember, 71% is for streets and transportation. We need both initiatives to pass so that we can fulfill the promises to the citizens on streets. It's sort of dumb easy. And the other thing I have to say is,
well,
this
said.
Is not an anomaly. This is how cities across our country improve infrastructure. So it's really not rocket science. We just have to believe that it is our obligation to maintain our assets. And every asset owned by the city is owned by the citizens of the city.
All right. Well, we thank you for your time and thank you for your service. Appreciate
thank you,
it.
Sir.
Sharon King Davis and Rose Washington are two of the co-chairs for the Citizen Steering Committee for Improve Our Tulsa. The $918 million capital improvement projects, which will go before Tulsa voters on Tuesday, November 12th. Of course, there is early voting today at the Tulsa County Election Board. For more information on the Improve Our Tulsa package, you can visit their website at improveourtulsa.com. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. If you miss one of our recent programs, they're available online anytime at publicradiotulsa.org. Or if you missed a portion of today's conversation, you can listen later today on demand anytime at publicradiotulsa.org. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.